We're talking now with Jen McKnight, and she is a candidate for Zone 1 trustee in the Lake Pendere School District. Jen, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get started by telling us a bit about yourself. How long have you lived here? How did you wind up here? Things you consider qualifications for the position?
Well, I have lived here for 7.5 years. You know, it's funny, I hear some people say, you know, I've lived here for 30 years and they're like 70 years old. So I'm, you know, I got here as quick as I could, you guys. I am...
Where did you move from?
From Nevada, oh. Southern Nevada. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's pretty similar. Mm-hmm. And just close with family there and everything. As far as experience for this job, it's important to really connect with the citizen. That's what the board does. But also, I go to these board meetings. I dig through policy. So we don't have anybody who's an incumbent, but as far as experience, I'm the one who has already been there, starting to dig into things and putting in the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us anything about your family, hobbies, anything like that you think folks might be interested in?
Well, I'm a Christian. I like to do a lot of stuff at church. I like to kayak. I've been trying to kayak around the whole lake.
Mm-hmm. How far have you made it?
I've done more than half, somewhere between half and two-thirds. I have a map. I like to mark down where I've been.
And do you spend the night out? I missed on some of those stretches.
We did. On one of the long stretches, we did camp overnight. And I got to tell you, the midway point was not half. The camping spot was not midway.
It was farther.
So, yeah. It was about 4 hours the first day and about 8 hours the second day.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Do you want to mention any... Have you held public office before, or are there any nonprofit groups that you might want to mention you're involved with?
I haven't held any office before. I just show up to these things.
Okay. Well, why are you running for school board? That's a perennial question. Candidates always get that one.
Well, I think the real answer, it's really funny. I think the real answer for both me and my opponent is we thought we were going to be unopposed. It looked like it was going to be a pretty easy walk-on kind of deal. And we met actually early on to see if one of us, you know, because it was going to be opposed, one of us maybe didn't want to do it. And, you know, we just were so different on the issues that neither one of us felt like we should drop out. So now it's, you know, we're just really fighting for it and, you know, letting the voter know where we stand and letting them decide. But I really do have a passion for the school board and the education of children and really supporting families. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's really lacking.
I think you mentioned it the other night, this forum, but do you have children in the schools?
They just finished.
Okay.
Yeah. They did go though. Yep.
Okay. Well, let's turn to some of the questions here. How do you think the current school board is doing? If you were going to give the Lake Pendere School District, the school board and or just the overall education provided, a grade from A to F, what grade would you give them? You get to be the teacher now.
I think I'd give the school board a D. I do see some things happening on there that seem like, you know, connection with the citizen, listening, some parents' rights stuff, some discussion towards opt-in, opt-out. But for the most part, the school board answers to the district, and it is so backwards. You know, children have their parents to represent them. Teachers have unions to represent them, but the people only have the school board to represent them. So if we're not listening to the people, you know, what are we doing? Why would we take, you know, or our orders from, you know, ISBA or just the national level or any groups anywhere else? We really, really need to be listening to parents and citizens. And when I go to those meetings, I see, you know, the teachers are given time and respect, and the meetings seem to be just a showcase for teachers in the district to kind of just kind of attaboy each other. And when, you know, when parents are there, they're discouraged from being there, they're discouraged from speaking, and it's not what the school board is supposed to be doing.
So you don't feel like they're listening to their constituents, what are some specific issues you think they could improve on?
Well,
issues maybe that the parents or constituents bring to the board that they don't seem to be hearing.
Yeah, sure. Definitely when a parent has a specific issue, you know, they're kind of just sort of nodded at, but just really dismissed, like they want to really get through that public comment time. And, you know, also from citizens, you know, and I've talked to many, and one of the things they keep bringing up is CRT. Now, CRT isn't exactly in...
critical race theory.
Yeah, that's not really exactly in there, but it's in there in other names. So what happened is people said they didn't want CRT, so then they brought in SEL, which is social emotional learning, and then they brought in design for change, and then now it's something I think called CORE, I think is the new one that's starting up. So it's hard to follow. It gets buried in policy, and you just have to really stay on it and watch. And that's what I'm there to do. I'm there to watch, and I want to bring things back to academics, because neither side really wants, you know, somebody else deciding, you know, what their kids are going to be taught as far as values. So, and it takes the time away. So we are losing time to teach academics, and I'd like to really bring the focus back to that. I think everybody can agree that children should have strong academics, and, you know, it's kind of the last, especially if they're not going off to college, it's kind of the last that they're going to get of an academic education. So it's really important. And
how do you feel the district is doing in providing an academic education?
Not so well. There's a ton of room for improvement, and there just really needs to be a refocus on the prioritization of it.
Mm-hmm. Reading, writing,
arithmetic. Yeah.
those you feel like this school district is not providing their kids with a good foundation in those specific things.
I know that they're not firsthand. My kids just went through the high school, mm-hmm. and I watched a bunch of diplomas get rubber stamped. Some of it was COVID, but it's all over. And the, you know, the test results and stuff, I think the school focuses too much on attendance, because that's, you know, where their money comes from. Their money comes daily by how many kids are in the seat. So they really focus on that instead of focusing on the quality of education.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. What do you want to identify any other specific issues that are motivating you to run that you would like to address if you get on the school board?
Well, there's, you know, backing families, respecting citizens, and then taxes are another thing. I will not vote to raise my constituents' taxes. We already have a waterfall levy. We already have a recurring levy that I think when people voted for it, it was kind of in good faith that we wouldn't have to keep having more levies to vote on. So we've already put that that steady thing in place, and we already have that levy. And it's a decent sized levy. So we have our taxes, and we have a big levy that's a permanent levy. I know you guys on the radio can't see my air quotes. It's a
you just use some air quotes. Yeah. Permanent. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a recurring levy that doesn't have to get re-upped. It re-ups on its own. But to have additional levies for big projects like rebuilding all the schools, that's too much. I think it's going to really tax people out of the area.
Okay. Well, if you want to dig in on that, so are upkeep and renewal facilities a matter of concern for you? Quite aside from the how we pay for it question, what do you think about the condition of our schools?
Well, I think that maintenance is important, and I think that that's what we need to do within our budget. I think we've been given a good size budget, and we need to use part of that for maintenance. And I don't think we need to rebuild from the ground up. I think that's way too expensive, and I don't think that that's what people want. But, you know, everybody's going to get to decide on that when they vote.
Well, your opponent said facilities are important to him. Mm-hmm. He points out that some of the schools are 70 years old or even older. I guess one of the schools goes back to 1928. Does it come a point at which a school building is so aged that trying to fix it up might not be the best solution?
Well, you know, it really comes down to what the budget is, because he doesn't offer any financial, you know, ways to solve these problems. It costs money. It costs a lot of money. He says that he kind of suggests that maybe it won't be levies, but he's worked on levies before. So I think that levy might be his go-to. It's going to cost a lot of money, and I don't know if people can afford it, especially with the economy the way it is and with inflation the way it is. And old buildings can be really cool. At a certain point, old buildings can be really great. I think that they can be maintained.
But does there come a point in which a building is even, say, condemned, like the Ninth Grade Center, which has been since renovated, now is on the private sector? The old Ninth Grade Center at Euclid Street was eventually retired because it was close to being condemned. At that point, does it become necessary to build a new school?
Well, it's really dependent on if we have the funds. If we don't have the funds, if people can't afford it, then we need to keep getting more more out of the investment we made before. We need to try to get more out of that.
Okay. Well, I just thought at some point, where do the kids gather to be taught?
Well,
I'm
afraid that if the money isn't there, what might happen is shutdowns. So I don't want to look at these schools and say, let's condemn it, because I think that that's a way that we might lose some of our schools. And I know that people don't want to lose the schools in their areas, and that's especially important for Zone 1.
Okay, let's turn to some other topics here. So district finances, always a matter that the school board deals with. Do you feel the district is doing a good job or a poor job managing its finances?
I don't know if I'll know that answer until I get in there. They do have a five-year plan. I think that a lot of their plan doesn't involve putting up new levies. I think that, you know, the plan is to budget with what they have. Now, what they have is a lot, so they weren't able to budget with just what we had from taxes. They had to increase that with the levy. I hope that it can stick to the budget at that point. I hope that the facilities and everything that we need to do can be handled from there. I think we need some reprioritization. I've seen money wasted on things, and then other things, you know, we're told, you know, we need this. And I've heard it in other places where we hear, you know, like, we need a levy for sports, but, you know, what, like, maybe we should have planned that out before, because sports are important. And I want to see LPOSD prioritize academics and sports, and you know, be careful not to waste money on things that it doesn't need to waste money on.
Can I ask you an example of what you felt was wasted money?
Boy, my daughter came home once and said, "Mom, they got all new equipment in the weight room, and the stuff that we had wasn't even that old." And she loved the weight training class. But that was an example of something that from a student where they said they thought the money was, where they felt the money was being wasted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. New topic here. It actually one that came up at the forum on Tuesday. Are you satisfied with the curriculum in our schools? And if not, what changes would you work towards as a trustee?
Well, I think the curriculum needs to be more academic, and it definitely needs to not have any kind of all the social emotional stuff. I think that really needs to be left to parents. I think that's the family's job, and I think that families don't want to let go of that job. So that needs to be cut out of there. And, you know, additionally about the curriculum, I'm starting to see a heavy balance in electives. A lot of classes that are fun. My daughter, for example, took, and she loved it, but she took 4 years of glass class. And I think there's only 3 years of it, but she ended up taking a fourth year somehow. She took 4 years of glass class, and she is not about to go and be a professional glass artist. So these fun classes are nice and these electives are good, but we don't want them to get out of balance with the ones that are really important and the ones that I think will, you know, they might not be vocational in the in themselves, but they, I think, will create a stronger work ethic. And I hear all the time that this generation, you know, that they want too many accommodations made for them on the workforce. They want to be talked to a certain way. They want to be able to, you know, have kind of a free schedule. And I think if the schools aren't serious, we're kind of, you know, creating that situation. So I think that if we have a little bit stronger of an academic program and kids have to buckle down a little bit harder, I think they're going to be more ready for the real world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that kind of spills over into my next question. It's another one that came up at the forum on Tuesday. So to reprise that and amplify it a bit, do you feel that religion should play any role in the schools? And then to take it a little bit farther, and you just were really speaking to this, should schools teach and model civic values, things like good behavior and ethics?
Yeah, that's a question, you know, somebody asked, you know, about my religion. I'm a Christian, and, you know, it's not something that I would hide that I'm a Christian. I'm proud of being a Christian, and it's something that I think the voters should know, and it's important to a lot of voters. But as far as the schools, I don't know if any parent feels like the government would do a good job, you know, teaching that kind of value to, you know, to students. I don't know where we would agree is the right exact thing. So as far as values, and we do see it in there, we do see values being taught. And we see the whole child approach. And that, you know, what's that mean for the family? If the public school is going to teach our whole child, where, what's that leave for us? So I don't think that should be in there. And I think it's, from what I've seen, it's not popular in the community either.
Well, what about kids that come from troubled families? And we do have kids that do come from troubled families, or families with parents that are drug addicts. Mm-hmm. And is there a role for the schools in helping those kids adopt values that might be contrary to what they do see in their personal lives?
Yeah, that's interesting. And it reminds me of a program that they have starting up now called One Trusted Adult, that is, you know, it's, they're saying they're meaning to help kids that are maybe in crisis, but instead of it being, you know, a counselor that they can go to if they need help, what is encouraged for every student is that they pick one trusted adult at the school. And it's called One Trusted Adult. So what's that mean for the parent? It's like the name of the thing says that your parents can't be trusted. You have one trusted adult, and it's one of the people at the school. And, you know, we talk about children who might be in trouble, but what about all of the rest of the children? You know, should we alienate them from their families and attach them to the schools because a few kids are going to need that extra help? I don't think so. I think that we really, really need to respect the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a few minutes left here. New question. So how do you feel our schools did in handling COVID, and what might you have done differently there?
Well, you know, it's not just the schools. There were shutdowns. There were fights over what was an essential business. We watched our economy kind of collapse, and it's still having trouble recovering. You know, kids stayed home and, you know, tried to do stuff online, and their education just slipped, and their diplomas got rubber stamped. And it was a pretty bad loss. And, you know, there were kids, not just kids that were at the end of the time, but kids that were earlier on in school that missed all that time and now have to kind of catch back up to be in the grade that they're in. And it's a real struggle. So I wouldn't have done the mandates. I don't think it's, as a school board, it's our job to represent the citizen. It is not our job to mandate the citizen. So people that wanted to stay home could have stayed home, but I definitely don't think mandates are appropriate. It's not our job to be telling people, you know, what they can and can't do. They need to be making those decisions mm-hmm. themselves.
But how do you think the school district ended up handling it? You know, look in the rearview mirror now.
Well, they locked things down and they mandated masks, and you know, their academic performance, you know, it just, achievement wasn't had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we saw a decline in academic performance basically everywhere after COVID.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Okay, the Lake Pontary School District has a 5-year strategic plan, and it centers around 4 priorities. Have you had a chance to look that over?
Not too deeply, but it's interesting because it's a 5-year plan, and ours is a 4-year position, and it's already been written. So I wonder how that, you know, what that means for this open position on the school board. I definitely will be active in policy and looking at, you know, what's going on, and I won't let the fact that there's already a 5-year plan stop me from representing the citizen.
Well, it centers around 4 priorities, and I can't get into them in any detail. I'm not really qualified to anyways, but the 4 priorities it spells out are, first, student academics and well-being, recruiting and keeping quality staff, facilities, maintenance and renewal, and then fostering and strengthening community connection. And if you're not that familiar, I was going to ask you, what do you think the priorities are good here?
Well, I'd love to ramble on about that last one, fostering and strengthening community connection. So there's a real problem with the schools. I hear them talk, and when I say them, that includes the superintendent. I hear them talk about we have to change public opinion of us. Citizens are dissatisfied. The surveys that are done are not coming back very positive for the schools. And they want to, like, a PR campaign that gets the community to understand how great they're doing, instead of them actually listening to how people think they're doing. They just want to convince people that they're doing a good job. And that's really backwards. I saw, like I said, with the one trusted adult, I saw an ad in a paper, not an ad, a kind of an ad, an article, by the superintendent, explaining this program to everybody. And you know, that's how the meetings go too. It's just them explaining to us what they're doing, and then teachers in the audience, like, clapping for it. And, you know, I'm a citizen and a parent, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, that thing that I just heard clapped at was, I don't like it. I didn't think it was good. And that's not what I hear other people saying that they want. So, community connection, people can use it as a positive sounding term, but what a lot of times they mean is, like PR for the school district to the people, rather than community connection where people are listened to.
So how do you demonstrate that you're listening to somebody?
Well,
let's make that. Why don't you play that role if you're a trustee yourself? How are you going to let them know you're listening to them, especially when they may be asking you for something that you don't even agree with, right?
Yeah, I have a good example. I just got an email from a citizen, and I'm not sure that they're in my district, but it's still, you know, these things come before all of us. And they had some comments. This particular citizen is the first person that I've heard mention, besides my opponent, that they're really passionate about the facilities. And, you know, I was happy to get that email. You know, I listen, and I have to file that in with, you know, everything else that I've heard from other citizens. It gets tricky because we're listening to people, but we have to take the majority of what people are saying. So we have to try to kind of listen as best we can when somebody doesn't seem to have the same concerns as most of what we're hearing. So we still, you know, want to try to listen to that, but ultimately we have to go with the majority of what we're hearing that people want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're just about the end of our time here. Jen McKnight, is there anything else that you want to throw in before I ask how the public can find out more about you and contact you?
Yeah, there's a real relevant issue lately. I've been watching on the news what's happening in these colleges. And there are all these college kids that are pro-Hamas, and they don't seem to mind about the atrocities that happened. And it asks the question, you know, what kind of indoctrination? A lot of people use the term liberal indoctrination, but I don't know if that's right either, because I don't see Democrats or Republicans in agreement with supporting Hamas. So something's happening in the schools that doesn't seem to be coming from either side. And it's like it's all gotten away from us. So, you know, we need to be really careful about what we're letting happen in the schools, and we need to be really watchful.
Okay, Jen McKnight, Zone 1 candidate for trustee, Lake Pontarie School District. How can people find out more about you and get in touch with you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, and I have a website, and I'm on YouTube, and
okay. Yeah,
I'm YouTube famous.
And what's your website?
My name, basically, let me see, McKnight for LPOSD.com.
All right, Jen McKnight, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.